service. Well, by the way, before I go any further, you know, I didn't pray for Brad Figge, and he's the one that needs the heart transplant. But I heard this past week that they had gone to the doctor, and where he was basically in dire straits. He needed a heart transplant, and so we're trying to raise all this money just to put him on the list. Well, he's not completely healed, but this is God so good. After the doctor's appointment, it came back that Brad does not need a heart transplant. Prayer does work, guys. Prayer does work. Prayer does work. And so when I saw that, I said, oh. And I guess in my mind, if God has come this far, you know, someone said, don't do that because your ears are big enough already. That's not right. That's not right, Dave. No, Dave didn't say it. A couple of months ago, my wife and I had this conversation where we were basically requesting from the Father as we talked to one another that we want to begin to feel the joy of the Lord in this place. Remember, we've been talking about it. How we want to, you know, come and, like I told the first service, I won't use Evie this time. I'll use my own wife. You know, that we'd be so full of joy that, you know, we'll just see, I'll see Sonny, and because I see Sonny, I'll start laughing. Not because Sonny's ugly or strange looking, just because, you know, there's joy in his heart, there's joy in my heart, and we'll just laugh, just have a good time. And so I felt the Lord ask me, so why do you want to experience His joy? And quite frankly, I couldn't answer it. Because what I thought and what I think joy is, based on what God is showing me, I mean, yes, it is what I think, but there's much more to joy in our lives. And this morning, I'm just scratching the surface, but I want to present to you one side of why you and I need to serve the Lord with joy. But before we go into the message, in the book of Deuteronomy, and I'm going to read from the message, so if you either want to listen to me or follow in your own Bible, that's fine. But I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. Listen to verse 1 from the message. If you listen obediently to the voice of God, your God, and heartily obey all His commandments that I command you today, God, your God. Now, notice that twice He said, your God, which means that He's our God. It's a personal relationship going on here. He said, He will place you on high, high above all the nations of the world. Verse 2. Now, please listen to the following. As these blessings will come down on you and spread out beyond you because you have responded to the voice of God, your God, God's blessings inside the city, God's blessings in the country, God's blessings on your children. And the parents said, amen. The crops of your land, I'm talking to farmers here, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flocks, God's blessing on your basket and your bread bowl. God's blessing in you coming in. God blessing you going out. God will defeat your enemy who attacks you. They'll come at you one road and they'll run away on seven roads. God will order a blessing on your barns, on your workplace. He'll bless you in the land that God, your God, has given you. God will form you as a people holy to Him, just as He promised you. If you keep the commandments of God, your God, and live the way He has shown you, all the people on earth will see you living under the name of God and will hold you in respect. God will lavish you with good things, children from your womb, offspring from your animals, crops from your land, and the land that God promised your ancestors that He will give you. God will throw open the doors of His sky vaults and pour rain on your land on schedule and bless the work you take in hand. You will lend to many nations, but you yourself won't have to take out a loan. God will make you the head, not the tail. And listen to the next one. You'll always be the top dog, never the bottom dog, as you obediently listen to and diligently keep the commandments of God, your God, that I'm commanding you this day. I don't know about you, but I want those blessings. And what's interesting is that word blessing there, verses 1 through 13, literally means abundance. And I'm thinking about this, guys, and I'm saying to myself now, when you go to the New Testament, and it says that God came to give us life and to give it to us in abundance, and here in the Old Testament, I see where the blessings of God are to be expressed, exposed, given to me in abundance. Trailer? What? Now, what I want you to understand, though, when you look at the word blessings here, if it's towards God, it literally means to reverence, to kneel, and to adore, or adoration. But when the word is talking about God to man, listen to this. When it's talking about blessing from God to man, or God blesses man, it literally means to benefit from, benefit abundantly. So what it's saying to you is, and to you and I this morning, is this. When God blesses us, as He's talking about verses 1 and 13, it literally is saying that you and I are to benefit from every promise that God has made. And not just to benefit a little bit, but benefit in abundance. Every promise in the Word of God, you and I are to receive and walk in abundance according to that promise. So I don't know what promise God has made you. But that promise, you're to walk in it in abundance. Abundantly. Guys, that's what, when people say that the Word of God or the promises of God are to overtake you, that's where it's coming from. In fact, I heard one pastor say that sometimes if we place ourselves in a position where God can bless us, and the way you put yourself in a position is to listen to the Word of God and obey the Word of God. And when you listen and obey the Word of God, now you're in a position to receive God's blessings. You can benefit from God has promised you. We benefit abundantly from God's promises by listening and obeying God's word or God's command. By the way, you may not like this, but I'm going to share something with you guys. Every promise in the Word of God comes with a command. God commands us to do X, Y, and Z, then we get A, B, and C. Right now, you listen and you obey. Amen? Now, this is the problem, though. Look at verse 47 of Deuteronomy 28. And this is where I'm coming from this morning. Listen to what God said to the Israelites. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Again, the abundance He's talking about, the things we just read in verses 1 through 13. So what He's saying is this. Because you did not serve. What I'm trying to say to you this morning, guys, is that joy plays a big part in what God can do for you and for me. And that part, joy, someone say joy. That joy, again, is a major main ingredient in your life as a born-again believer. And I believe God is saying to you and I that when we start walking and we start walking in obedience, that we're supposed to walk in joy as we walk out this walk that God's given us through Christ Jesus. Joy plays a big part. We need to begin to see each other with smiles on our faces. I'm tired of coming to church and looking at people, and it's like you've just been baptized in pickle juice or something. Those sour faces, I mean, it's like, what's going on in our lives? Now, I'm not going to say that you're not going to suffer any trials, and I'll show you why in a few minutes why you will. But we do go through things. But I'm going to say to you right now, and I'll say it to you at the end, when we go through those things, we can still go with joy. And I am supposed to serve my God with joy and a glad heart. Someone look at me and smile. God's taking a picture. Let me define joy biblically from this verse. The word joy there means the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by a relationship with whom are we in relationship. So because of our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, because of that relationship, the emotion that you and I are to express is one of great delight and happiness because we're in relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's a celebration, church, celebrating the Father and His blessings. We need to begin to celebrate. We need to begin to celebrate. The mere fact that you and I have a relationship with Jesus should be cause for celebration. Boy, you guys are excited, I can tell. Praise God. Celebration! Because I know Jesus, I'm to celebrate that which He's given me, the blessings that I'm going to benefit from because of the relationship I am with and in, I am to celebrate. That's why Psalms 150 says that we're to dance around. We're to sing and play the instruments and just have a great time of celebration. Why? Because God the Father is with you. Why? Because His Son is with you. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is with you. On that alone, you and I should be celebrating. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to celebrate. I was talking to Kathleen and I said, you know what, babe, we need to just start walking around like we know God's in control. Like we know God's a winner. Like we know we're more than conquerors because of Him. We need to start walking around with, just like that, with a smile on our face. Why are you smiling? Because God's my God. Why are you smiling? Because God's working for me. Why are you smiling? Oh, it may look like hell right now, but I'm gonna go into heaven. When all hell breaks loose, use the other H word. Look towards heaven. So what I'm saying to you guys is that serving our Father in heaven is to be a celebration. And what I find interesting as I was looking at this relationship that you and I have with the Father, when you and I were born again, we entered into a relationship that in that relationship included joy. It was given to you from the very, very beginning. Now, how many know that we can lose our joy every once in a while? See, David, and we know David in Psalms 51, because of sin, he lost his joy. That's why when he lost his joy, he went and he cried out and he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Guys, you may not feel full of joy. You may not be joyous this morning. And if you're not, for whatever reason, I say to you, cry out as David did. Cry out and say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Because this is the joy that I need to serve Him. I'm going to go as far as to say this to you guys. You cannot serve God without joy. Now, look what happens if you try. And we have tried. Come on. Bless you. So go to verse 48. Look what God says, because it did not serve with joy. Therefore, then, you will serve your enemies. Stop right there. Look at me. You have enemies. Every single one of you, you have enemies. And I like the Word of God when it just really exposes and expresses itself. Check this out. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, enemy number one, in thirst, enemy number two, in nakedness, enemy number three, and in lack, enemy number four. When you and I do not serve the Lord with joy, as He has asked, especially in the abundance or all the promises He's given us, then we will serve hunger, both spiritually and practically. It's a famine that comes. And Amos chapter 8, verse 11 tells you very clear that there's a famine coming where we will not hear the Word of God. We'll be hungry for the Word. Thirst, again, both natural and spiritual, will serve thirst. And nakedness, it's interesting because the word nakedness there means exposure to harm. Just like when you wear clothing, it protects you. Well, because of disobedience or not serving with joy, it leaves us unprotected to the enemy's ploys and strategies. And the word lack there literally means poverty. So what I'm saying to you guys is this. Joy plays a big part in our lives. No joy, hunger. No joy, thirst. No joy, no protection. No joy, lack. Guys, joy plays a big part in our lives. The lack of joy opens the door to the enemy into your life. In March 1992, this is interesting, research shows that the average four-year-old laughs 400 times a day. You guys have a four-year-old, don't you? No? Two-year-old? Laughing all the time, I'm sure. Check this out. While an adult laughs only 15 to 16 times a day. Child, 4 years old, average 400. Average adult, 15 to 16 times. That's number one. I got 14 left. 15, 16 times a day. Maybe now it makes sense as to why Jesus exhorted us to come as little children. Because He wants you to come in joy. He wants you to walk in joy. Now, let me give you just three quick points on the power of joy. Number one, God's voice. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30. There was a time back in the 80s where you would go into a non-denominational charismatic meeting, and all of a sudden everybody would burst out laughing. Now, I don't know if that was a God or if it wasn't. I mean, I'm not here to judge. But in listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling me, I do believe that we, the church, we get too stinking serious. Now, there is holiness. Don't get me wrong. There is holiness. But we get serious, guys. How can I say this? Okay, listen to me, guys. And if it's you, just repent. what I have seen is those people that are extremely serious are ultra spiritual. Yes, no? My wife's looking at me. There's nothing wrong with being spiritual. The Bible itself says that it happens first in the practical or in the natural, then the spiritual. It's always a combination of. And if we allow ourselves to get too or overly spiritual, we tend then forget. We know the name of God, but we don't understand the nature of God. And if we know the name of God and don't understand the nature of God, we get religious. Then all of a sudden, I can enjoy. In fact, Steve Moffat. How many know here Steve Moffat? He told me a joke that I cannot repeat it. But he told me a joke that, well, no, it wasn't that bad. Well, he told me a joke this morning that had me on my knees laughing. I said, Steve, how can you say this to me before I go minister at the 8 o'clock service? And so, but we were laughing and laughing and laughing. And I just felt the Lord say to me, this is what we need in the church. That we come and talk to one another and enjoy one another and laugh with one another. Amen. Are you in Isaiah chapter 30? I'm going to read from the New Living Testament, verse 29. Listen to this, guys. But the people of God will sing a song of joy. Now stop right there. Why do you think we have worship in the mornings on Sunday mornings? You guys don't know. Let's keep on going then. But the people of God will sing a song of joy like the songs at the holy festivals. Listen to this. You will be filled with joy. As when a flutist leads a group of pilgrims to Jerusalem, the mountain of God, to the rock of Israel. Look at verse 30. And the Lord will make his majestic voice heard. First thing I want you to see is that joy allows us to hear his mighty voice. Then I look at the book of John chapter 10 where it says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Why is that important? Because the bottom line, church, you and I, we follow what we hear. Now, that's a good place to say amen. So then the question is, what are we listening to? And when we are not walking in joy, I promise you, everything that's causing adversity or causing trouble in your life, everything that's coming against you, that's the voice that you're listening to. And if that's the voice you're listening to, there's no joy. And if there's no joy, you cannot hear the voice of the Father. Amen. And by the way, how many born-again believers do I have here this morning? May I see your hand? Because of John chapter 10, this morning you can hear the word and the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice. You're born again? You're part of the flock. You can hear the voice of the Lord. And you guys need to understand that. I don't know why we make a joke about not being able to hear God's voice. Guys, you can hear the voice of God. You're born again. You're in a relationship with Him. Every single one of you here this morning, you can hear the voice of the Father. Joy allows us to hear the voice of the Father. And then I look at Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Where it says, call upon me. We're supposed to call upon the Father. And then it goes on to say, and I will answer you. Well, when He answers us, we need to be in a position to. Because He goes on to say, I'll answer you, and I'm going to show you great and mighty things of which you do not know. Guys, according to that scripture, God wants to move in such a way in your life that you'll see His mighty hand move. Things you're not expecting, things you've never seen before. That's what He wants to do in us. Guys, in us. We just can't go around and say, well, we read books of Smith Wigglesworth or John G. Lake or whomever they may be and the miracles that happen in their lives and we get all excited. They're supposed to happen in your life too. Yeah. I've been crying out this, well, not this morning, but I've been crying out throughout now. I've been saying, Father, whatever's in me that's holding me back, show it so I can take care of it. But Father, may I walk in your joy so I can begin an experience. I don't know about you guys, but I want an experience. I want to see the supernatural. I really do, man. I really do. I want to see the mighty hand of God move. I'm tired of talking about it. Second thing, God's presence. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 16. I'm going to serve the Lord with joy. Why? Because joy allows me to hear God's voice. Psalm 16, verse 11, number 2, God's presence. Look at verse 11 and watch what it says. You have made me known. You have made known to me the path of life. And you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. May I say to you guys, joy fills the room with his presence. What would happen if Sunday morning we all come cheerful? With joy. Isaiah 64 verse 5 from the CEV rendition. It says this. You, speaking of God, you help all who joyfully obey and do what you want. God is ready to help you. Whatever you're going through, God is ready to help you. But if there's no joy, he can't. And if we're doing things we should not be doing, there's no joy. He can't help you. Or if we're not believing what he is speaking to us, then there's no joy. I had one lady come to me this morning. I asked if I could share it. She said, absolutely. She came after the service. She says, you know, I have to repent. I haven't had joy. And she said, I know that this is what the Word of God says pertaining to my condition. And I've read this and I've read that. But it's like I'm challenging God. I'm not believing God. I'm challenging God. And she said that as we were going through the message, she just looked up and she said, and I saw her. She said, Father, forgive me. I didn't know what she was saying then. But she said, Father, forgive me, for I've been challenging you. I need to believe you. And she said, when that happened, joy came into her heart. And all of a sudden, she said, I started hearing clearly what God was trying to say to me and do for me. Hallelujah. See, we don't understand how big joy is in our lives. We go on, we say things like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Do we know what that means? What's that song I said earlier? We got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in... Okay, that's enough. So, joy fills room with his presence. Now, listen to Psalms chapter 100, verse 2. Just listen to this. Be joyful and sing yourselves into his presence. Okay, I'm going to ask the question I asked earlier. Why do we have praise and worship? If we are full of joy and we come and we start singing and expressing that joy, you literally, according to that verse, you're singing yourself into his presence. Woo-hoo! Man. So I say, Michael Swank, I said, Pastor Wong, come and sing. Sing, guys, sing. How many know what I'm talking about? If you're at home, you get bad news. Sing. It may not be bad to me. It may be bad to you. It may be bad to me, not to you, whichever. If you go through, sing. Let joy be part of. And all of a sudden you'll find yourself in the presence of God. And as we read earlier, you're in His presence because of joy. Not only do you hear the voice of God, you're in His presence. Watch and see what God can start doing in your life. All because of a three-letter word. Joy. So a combination of joy and worship takes you into the presence of God. And the third one is found in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, God's cure. Proverbs 17, verse 22 says this, a joyful heart is good medicine. Now, the word good there in that verse literally means to make well. The word medicine means cure. So what it's saying to you and I is this, joy makes one well. It's the cure that God designed for you and for me. I started looking at that same verse in different translations, and this is what I found. In the BBE translation, it says, a glad heart makes a healthy body. In the Darby translation, it says this, a joyful heart promoteth healing. And in the Good News Bible, it says this, being cheerful keeps you healthy. I told the first service I was reading an article where they had diagnosed this gentleman terminal, and the doctor had no answers. Born again believer, he saw this scripture. So what he decided to do was go to the patient every day and tell him a joke, and get this man to start laughing. Now I'll be honest with you, I read some of those jokes. There's no way I would have laughed at those jokes. But he's going and just giving this man a joke a day, and this man starts laughing, and it becomes consistent. All of a sudden his condition starts changing. After a while, the man walks out of the hospital completely healed. Now, you may ask me, Pastor, how does that work? I really don't know, other than I know that the Word of God works. And as far as I'm concerned, that's good enough for me. If the Bible says, go and laugh, it makes you healthy, well, then guess what? I'm going to go and I'm going to do what I can. I told the first service, I love to be around people that make me laugh. Amen. Remember when we used to hang out with these guys and Rick and Gloria? In New Jersey, we had Pastor Juan, Evie, and Rick and Gloria. And oh, my word. When you would have Pastor Juan and Rick go at each other, we laugh all. Remember that, Chelsea? We laugh all the time. That's all we did was laugh. We got together all the time, and we stayed up till I don't know how late playing games or just whatever. We had a great time just talking and laughing and just carrying on. Man, that's church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's some things that are going through my mind now. Rick Padgett was, in fact, he was here for just a little bit, about 4 or 5 years ago. He came and he moved here, then he moved to Nashville. I don't know why, but is who? He has a family? Oh. We used to have a great time. You know what? Give me a second. Let me reminisce. Every weekend, we were at somebody's house. If not ours, theirs, Padgett's. Oh, no, Padgett's lived with us. The Malones. I mean, you name it. Prescott's. I mean, wow. I'll be back in a few minutes, guys. It was good. Some of the best times we've had. What am I saying? Guys, it's simple. You choose. You choose whom you will serve. Amen. You choose. Amen. I can't blame this. I can't blame that. You choose whom you will serve today. And I just implore you at this point, choose to go the way of serving the Lord with joy. Let me end with this. Go with me to James chapter 1, a scripture that you guys don't like whatsoever. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. If I can find James in my Bible, I'll be doing great. It's in the at the end of the Old Testament. James chapter 1. Look at verse 2. You guys don't like this verse, I know. It says, consider, put thought to, count it. Consider it all joy, my brethren. When? When you encounter various trials or adversities or trouble. So when the enemy comes and all of a sudden you're facing adversity, you're going through a difficult time, you're in this trial, there's nothing but trouble and on, affliction, persecution, we go on and on and on. And the Bible says to you, count it all joy. Now, let's be honest, guys. How many here would count that as joy when you're going through hell? But what do we say here? When you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep on going. That's not your place. And this is what I'm trying to say to you this morning. If you're going through a difficult time, the Bible says, count it all joy. Why? Because we just learned that in joy, you will hear God's voice in your trial. Joy will keep you in God's presence as you're going through your trial. Joy will bring forth God's cure you need in the time of your trial. The trial is not the issue. That's not the issue. The issue at hand is what God wants to do. So I may be going through a difficult time, but if I allow myself to serve the Lord in that time with joy, I will hear God's voice. I will be in God's presence, and I will experience God's cure for my life at that point. Amen. Has nothing to do with the trial. But what happens to us as humans? We look at the trial. Remember I said to you earlier, we follow what we hear. And if I hear all these voices that are coming at me because of and this and that or whatever, all of a sudden I'm going to start following those voices. But God is saying to me that no matter what voice is speaking at me in that trial, if I allow myself to serve with joy, that emotion, that delightful emotion because of that relationship, if I allow the relationship that I have with the Lord, allowing for joy to come into my life, then that becomes the priority in my life as I go forward. And because it's the essence, the core of what I am doing, I'm walking and living in joy, then in that time of trouble, in that time of trial, I will hear God's voice. I will be in God's presence. And I will help get help from the Lord when I need it. Amen. Joy is different, at least for me, than the way I should see it. Then all of a sudden I'm beginning to see things like where it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. His joy. But I'm going to experience it because I hear His voice. I'm going to experience it because I'm in His presence. I'm going to experience it because He's moving on my life and bringing me the cure that I need for my life. The Bible says this, you're to ask, thus He can meet your need. Why? The Bible says, book of John, so that your joy may be full. In other words, joy contains. It can either have a little bit or has a lot. And when you begin to pray and you begin to ask the Father, and the Bible says you have not because you ask not. When you begin to pray and you begin to ask the Father as He meets your need, as He moves in your life, the Bible says that joy is poured in. Oh man, that we may start praying and watching God meet our needs, moving on our behalf. And I walk away not only with my need met, but I'm going to walk away with joy. Joy is a big part of your life as a victorious Christian on this earth. And I'm praying that this church, you and I, that we'll walk out full of joy. But I promise you, this is what's going to happen, guys. I'm telling you right now. You're going to walk out. And all of a sudden, something's going to happen. Your husband's going to say something. Your wife's going to say something. Your kids are going to be disobedient. That all of a sudden, that joy that you felt, poof, gone. It's gone. Don't let the enemy steal your joy. It's yours. You got saved, it's in there. Because of the relationship, it's yours. The enemy can take from you what you let him take. And let's purpose in our hearts this morning that he will not take our joy. Because I need my joy to serve my Father. Can someone say amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Sure. Now, the second part of the service is...
I just want to share this story with you because it is cute and it's funny for me. But this is how sweet the Lord is. You know, you're believing God for these big financial breakthroughs. But I just want to share. Remember the story about how we went down to 7-on-7 and I wanted color coordinated ice box and I wanted
and our chairs they had
and
to
our
be
chairs
red.
And Frank and Frank honored me, so he took the red that wore the strap. And remember how burdensome it was? And I said, you know what, Frank? I promise I'll go get you a one that you can pull. So I was determined that I was going to find me a pulling one for him and surprise him. So I go into Home Depot, and Mom and I walk over to the, and they had a red one. And I was so excited. And I said, and they had one left. And I said, praise God. Mom, I think it's only like $20. But then I said, no, that couldn't be right. It has to be more like probably 40 or 50. I said, well, let's go in there. So we put it up in the basket, and we're driving down. We're going, and here Paul Swank comes right around the corner. And he says, I know exactly what that red one is for. And he took a picture and sent it to Frank. But it was so, that was joyful to me. Frank honored me, and then I turned around and I honored Frank. And I want to tell you, I got that thing. They were running a special. I got a deal on it. I got it for $5. And I went to Walmart, and it was for $54. So I want to tell you that God blesses in the smallest ways. And I'm telling you, he just gave me a kiss on my cheek, and he says, I am enjoying you and Frank. So I've got a color-coordinated ice box that he can pull.
Where are you, baby? Yeah, she brought it in, and I'm on my knees laughing. Crazy woman of mine. Hallelujah. We serve a good God. Woo! I'm going to pray this morning for all of us that as we walk out, that God would just fill us with his joy, but that we would not allow the enemy, the devil, to steal our joy. Amen. Raise your hands as an act of receiving. Father God, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for what it says. And Father, this morning, Father, we are determined in our lives, in our hearts, that we will serve you with joy. Father, so that we may hear your voice, that we may live in your presence, and we may receive your healing. Father, I ask you right now, fill us with joy. Father, your word says we have not because we ask not. Right now, we're asking, fill us with joy. And Father, protect our minds, our eyes, our heart, and our bodies, that we will not give in to the ploys and or the strategies of the enemy, the stealing, that which you've given us. But Father God, give us a spirit of understanding that we may know and understand the power of joy in our lives. So Father God, we thank you again. Let your joy, just let it flow. Flood this place, Father God, with your joy into every heart in this place. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you glory. Father, we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Don't forget, next Sunday, Father's Day, they have, and I'm full of joy.
Yes, you're excited.
And I'm excited. So bring Papa next Sunday. Let's fill this place. God bless you.